You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today on the Cooligans, in the first segment, we're talking about Manchester City going through a little bit, some legal issues, all right?
And we
bring in Luke Moore of the Football Ramble to talk about it. It was really cool to have him on the show. We also talk about racism and racism in Europe, racism in the U.S. It's crossing the pond.
Yeah, nasty natty is all I'm going to say. In the second segment, we talk about more racism. And we also talked to Emily Olsen and why she's so racist. No, she's absolutely incredible. She's on Pro Soccer USA, SiriusXM FC on United States Soccer. Absolutely incredible. Love talking to Emily Olsen. We get into the nitty gritty about DC United and WSL, the She Believes Cup and the Olympics, a bunch of stuff, all that and more today on the Cooligans.
Hey guys, Elise LeHue, general manager with Sky Blue FC, and I got that bag with the Cooligans.
Hey.
Yeah, baby!
Yes, yes, yes. Hello, welcome. All right. The energy is here. We're excited. We're getting closer and closer to
the camera. We're going to be all up in you.
Okay. We're going to have to wipe the camera down.
Because I'm on wiping it. Anyway. Great song.
Alexa, stop body rolling, please.
We played that at my wedding. I'm not even playing with you. The whole place was like shoulders, chest, pants, shoes. I was like, Nan, get up here. I win. You know what it is.
All right. Welcome to the show, everybody.
What's up?
Hi, my name is Christian Polanco.
Yes, it is. I'm Alexis Guerrero.
All right, we are the Cooligans. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show that you have ever witnessed, been a part of. Okay.
We better be. That's why you're watching right now. And it's not just that. We also happen to be the gulliest.
That's okay? Right. Speaking of gulliest, we have something to talk about.
Yeah, we got a lot. This episode is gullified.
Okay. Stamp of approval.
Right on the screen. You've been gullified.
Because we have to talk about the word gully.
You know how like NYC gives you the scores for the restaurants?
Yes.
We should have one with a G for this episode because this is gully as hell.
Yes. Certified G. Right? Great G.
Yeah. This episode has been certified to not snitch.
So a lot to discuss today. Again, we're going to be joined by Luke Moore of the Football Ramble.
That's right, dude. He took the Concorde out here just to talk about this.
That's right. Yo, Football Ramble money is stacks.
Yeah, man. How much y'all giving them for their Patreon?
Football Ramble, I think, is also like a religious cult. You know, like a pastor that really needs a lot of donations.
He walks in and just pats people on the head. Luke Moore, they're doing 5 episodes a week now.
So we're excited to talk about him. But we have a couple of things to announce. I think we should start first with the fact that CONCACAF Champions League is starting tonight.
Finally, so, we've all been waiting for it.
So the first match is between León and LAFC.
Yeah.
León of Liga MX, of course. But we are going to be going to a CONCACAF Champions League game.
And buddy, we're not going to wait for the home for the return leg.
No.
I said I want to see that first leg. Show me that one leg, yo.
that's a damn good leg you got there.
It's like an Amish strip club. Show me that one leg. Oh, that's too much.
Oh my god. Yeah, am I a sinner?
I gotta go sell some pies. I'm out of here.
No, but we can.
How long before we get canceled? Well, they don't watch TV, right? They ain't gonna see this.
You ain't watching this on your smartphone. Right? I know that for sure. Right?
Your landline?
No,
we're trying to listen.
Can you listen to podcasts on landline?
If the wires get crossed, they'd be like, what are they talking? They're talking about us. I thought the show was about soccer.
I feel seen. So we are going to a CONCACAF Champions League game. Tomorrow morning, we are flying out to Costa Rica. We will be attending the NYCFC match between NYCFC and San Carlos. Unbelievable. So
that's right. They're playing a saint. So Carlito.
Here it is. I brought my Los Ticos talisman cap.
That's right.
So I'm excited. I'm excited to go to tomorrow. The game is on Thursday.
This looks like you're going to be rooting for the Costa Rican team. What up, baby? I'm a turncoat.
I'm just rooting for Costa Rica. Yeah. That's all.
I'm rooting for good food as a country.
So that is exciting. So, yeah, we'll be there. If you're going to be in Costa Rica, please say hello to us. It should be really dope.
I'd love it.
Usually we start the show by showing love to the people who show love to us. We want to do that.
We want all the love. Okay. We want you to send us gifts. We want you to leave good reviews. And if you do that, we thank you by reading your review. And this one is amazing. This says, these guys are hilarious. I can't read the rest of it because this new podcast app, I can't really read, but it says .. I think it's saying Alexis is the best one. I'm assuming that's what it says there. This one is 5 stars, of course, or we don't read it, okay? We hit report a concern because I'm concerned for you and your bad taste, okay? It's by Citadel Dell, all right? So shouts to Citadel Dell. He said, everyone is on the lookout for new podcasts, especially for fans of the beautiful game. Okay, as seen on TV commercial starting.
Okay.
I like it, right?
QVC, Cooligans or QVC?
I mess with it. Alexis and Guerreros are two stand-up comedians who have combined their comedy with their love of soccer to become the funniest soccer podcast on iTunes. And I think he misspelled the world. He wrote iTunes on error. So you might want to, coming from me, you might want to edit. Love seeing their show on Fubo TV also.
Okay,
all right.
Look at that.
Okay, my man works in advertising. Keep up the great work, guys. We absolutely will. You keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Sign in iTunes under different account and leave another review.
Exactly. None of this has to be legitimate.
No, baby.
None of it matters.
We got 617 ratings.
Yeah.
So we're on our quest for 700.
Exactly. And this review, so this was left by Del Schaefer.
That's right. Citadel Del Schaefer.
Who does the Leagues podcast, who we were just guests on.
That's
so,
right.
We check out that show as well.
That's right. So if you got a podcast you want us to be a guest on, you better leave a 5-star review before we do it.
That's the entrance fee.
Okay. So, and join Gully Squad.
So a couple other things to get to before we start talking about Manchester City. Mm-hmm. Word of the day. You know this
Words with Friends.
Words with Friends.
You
ever heard of this game?
I do now.
You do now.
Apparently they heard of us.
Are they hiring? Because you just lost your job at HQ.
Do you need anything? Y'all need someone to stand there in a suit while everyone in the chat calls me whatever the recent fat guy on the news was? Like Andy Ruiz Jr., the boxer. I got that one a lot. Is there anything y'all need? How about shut the hell up and get to the game? Which I see a lot. I see you
You're
out there.
Out for HQ trivia,
which might not be dead. Apparently the guy who owns it just tweeted out, everybody hold up, stop crying and filling out your unemployment. I don't know what's going on.
Okay, so
but I think it died. I think it's dead. I think maybe they just sent this whole thing to fire me. They were like, yo, everybody
I'm
else chill.
HQ trivia was doing perfectly fine before you started hosting on it.
Oh, this is 100% true.
So
I show up and they're like, I don't think it's looking good anymore. The snack budget seems to be a bit out of whack. I did complain. They had a whole snack room.
Okay.
And I was like, yo, ain't no chocolates in here. And they were like, oh no, it's they had an ice cold brew machine and a bunch of like seaweed snacks. And I was like, what is this? This is trash. I go, get Doritos. And they're like, well, we want to foster a healthy environment. I was like, yo, get out of here. Yeah, ew, dog. You an app. You tell people to sit on their couch and play games, my guy. Get out of here with this. This ain't no running app. This ain't no couch to 5K.
So there's another app, Words with Friends, and a lot of people started tweeting.
They saw that I got fired and they're like, yo, I'm a support.
A lot of people started tweeting at us and they were like, yo, is Cooligans doing a collab with Words with Friends or something? Because the word of the day for Words with Friends was Gully.
Gully, my guy.
Right there. And thank you, Benjamin. Benjamin was
Cannon. Benjamin Cannon was one of the 45 people who tweeted this at us. Also, I didn't know y'all had your notifications all set for this game. This game came out 15 years ago, yo.
I was playing this on my Motorola StarTAC.
I know, dude. I played this on my first Macintosh. You had to get one of them big old discs that were floppy. I think it was called a floppy disk, if I'm not mistaken.
Whoa, okay.
Hence the name.
All right, Detective Guerrero.
I solved the crime. Boom, boom. Law and Order episode over.
But no, this is kind of cool, right? I think a lot of times people, they hear us say the word gully, and it came from just one of our dumb conversations and, and this weirdly ironic, it was a word in our childhood, in our youths. And then people start seeing it. I don't know if we have anything to do with it, but all of a sudden the word gully is coming up a little bit more.
It's making a bit of a comeback.
Exactly.
To which I say, you're welcome.
All right. It's like the gully is the boulder that we're pushing up this mountain, but it's getting up there.
And then that movie came out in India, that Bollywood movie called Gully Boy.
That's right.
Right. Which I guess we auditioned for, but we didn't get. I don't know how this happened.
Okay. I mean, at least I could have done a supporting role in that film.
Maybe a little bit of a walkthrough. Maybe a choreographed dance, my guy.
We could do a cameo.
You know what I'm saying? You think we can? Just a Cuban and a Dominican dude in hoodies hanging out in a ravine in India? You think that would look out of place, maybe?
Okay. Just Hollywood and Bollywood is keeping us out of the industry.
Y'all don't want diverse representation? Mad people in that movie, Indian, my guy.
Okay. We have a lot of soccer to talk about, I promise.
And what an honor it is for us to have someone who's already been on the show before, right? Yes,
it's always great to have a rerun.
Someone that we've approved of being on the show.
Heavily vetted.
Yeah. We said he came on, he was great. We were like, I will have you back. You did good on your first audition. But we want to talk a little bit about Manchester City. Why not bring in someone who probably talks about it a little bit more than we do?
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, unless you're driving, put your hands together for the one, the only of the Football Ramble Daily now. Luke Moore, everybody.
Luke, what's up, man?
How's it going?
Not bad at all.
I love the little American salute.
That's right. You're married to an American, so you understand how to salute an American.
It's all about respect.
talk to me a little bit about what the news cycle has been like in England, because a lot of people talk about it here, but mostly on Twitter and Instagram. What's it been like to be in the football world out there while all this Manchester City stuff is happening?
Well, it's been pretty quiet because no one in the UK really cares about soccer or football. So I've had to really dig around to find some stuff on this, you know. No, it's been dominating everything. It's been very, very big in the news and the sport, of course. It's kind of one of those stories that's crossed over into hard news as well as just sport news. So it's been big, yeah.
Is it something where... like, how happy are the other supporters of the other clubs that this is happening to Manchester City?
How happy are United fans?
I think we could safely say there's been a certain amount of schadenfreude about it. You know what football fans are like.
Yeah,
it's been warmly received in certain parts of Manchester, I would suggest. But I don't know how much you guys, how much your viewers know about it. Would you want me to give you a synopsis, or do you want me to run it down?
Yeah,
what's happened?
That would be great. That? Yes, please.
Yeah, because we've mostly been making jokes. Okay. So it'd be nice if we get some real information.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's what I do. I mean, I think you must have fallen short getting guests on this, because I mean, we spend most of our time making jokes too. So listen, what's happened is that Manchester City have been found to be in breach of financial fair play regulations, which was put in by UEFA to stop
Manchester City
spending.
To stop Manchester City.
To stop Manchester City personally, because when UEFA went there once, they had like a really below par pizza. And they said, it's just not acceptable.
It's not acceptable.
They've got to get out of this competition.
These are facts. Yeah. I want everyone to know this.
Yeah, get out of here. What are you doing? Forget it. Get out of here. They, in November 2018, a German newspaper called Der Spiegel published a load of emails that were internal emails from Manchester City talking about how they were getting their sponsorship money. And it's been deemed by UEFA that they weren't being truthful in their submissions financially between 2012 and 2016 about where the funding for their sponsorship came from. Now, what that's meant is that they've been in breach of financial fair play regulations. There was an investigation by the UEFA, kind of, they call it the the CFCB. It's kind of the investigation board around financial irregularities, I suppose. And they found them in breach of those regulations, fined them 30 million euros, so about $30 million, and banned them from the Champions League for two seasons. Manchester City have said they're going to appeal. So the next thing he'll do is it will go to the Court for Arbitration for Sport, which is the highest body, I think, in Europe that can rule on it. And once that's been ruled on, it's done.
And isn't this technical? I have two questions. One, isn't this technically a felony to sort of cook the books, if you will, in England? And two, what the hell is that thing behind you?
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay. So I'll do the second question first.
I'm at the other one. Yeah.
This thing here. I'm at a friend's house at the moment. I have no idea what it is. I mean,
it's freaking me out.
What's
man.
The G about?
That's Gully. It stands for Gully.
It's telling me all the secrets. It's telling me all the secrets in here. I can't remember the first question. What was the first question?
Isn't it technically a felony? And are they in England? And are they not going to get in trouble at home?
Well. So what's now being posited is that if UEFA found him in breach, then the Premier League would be the next organisation to presumably pass some kind of judgment on their behaviour and how they've breached financial fair play domestically as well. So there's been talk of a call for a points deduction. And at the very extreme end of the scale, I mean, let's be honest, you guys, you know Jose Mourinho's coming on this. You know he's going in hard straight away. Press conference ahead of the Champions League, not even asked about the issue, straight in there saying that he thinks that his Man United team should be given the title from a couple of seasons ago. So everyone's going on them. I think the Premier League will do something. They will act in some capacity. We're not sure what it's going to be yet. But it's overall, you know, it's obviously fairly bleak news for Man City. They have appealed it. They've said they're going to appeal it straight away. They said that they have given what they describe as irrefutable evidence to the contrary, and that it's been a biased process. I don't know anyone who shares that opinion, and I don't know anyone who's seen that apparently irrefutable evidence that's going to exonerate them. So it looks to me like it's done. They're certainly going to be facing a severe penalty, whatever the result of the appeal is, because I think it's about 90% that CAS tend to rule on the side of the confederation in question. And ultimately, Manchester City have agreed to play by the rules of this tournament, and the rules are set by UEFA, and UEFA have deemed that they've breached them. So it doesn't look good. If Man City fans out there are watching or listening and are a bit unclear on the process, take it from me. I have no legal qualifications whatsoever, but I'm telling you this is bad. This is bad.
I'll take your word for it.
I have a question. Ahead. Is there any? Do you know if there's any precedent ever since financial fair play has been put in place of teams actually being penalized and following through with either a points deduction or anything like this? Has anything?
Maybe Rangers is the closest thing.
No, there's a couple of precedents. I mean, there is AC Milan in Italy were found to be guilty of it. They were then kicked out of the Europa League. Some people cynically said that they quite liked being kicked out of the Europa League because it was a pain for them and they could concentrate on the league. But nonetheless, they took a penalty where they were kicked out of the Europa League. PSG have been in, Paris Saint-Germain in France have been in violation of it as well. But they were happy to kind of work with UEFA to try and put it right and therefore avoided the more severe penalty. Because you've got to remember, a key part of this is that UEFA have deemed Manchester City to have not been cooperating with the process and been dismissive and arrogant in their dealings with UEFA and trying to undermine the entire process. And that's why the punishment's been harsher. That's why the punishment has caught the eye of news outlets everywhere, because in the previous time, Milan were kind of down at heel a little bit, and they're in obviously in Europe's second tier competition, and PSG sort of, although they were, I think they faced a heavy fine, but they worked with UEFA to avoid a more severe penalty, and they were kind of deemed to have done that and to have been cooperative, and Manchester City have done none of that, and that's why the penalty's been harsher.
I think the general consensus is that like Manchester City has too much money for this to really hurt them, right? Why not just pay the fine, whatever it is, and walk away? And two, do you think we'll see something like we saw with Rangers where they got dropped to the, when they were in administration and got dropped to the fourth tier? Is that something we could see? Do you think maybe they'll be down there with Pompey?
That's a dig. That's a low blow. Ahead of a crucial FA Cup game. I'm coming back on this show and talk to Pete Arsenal in the FA Cup. I'm telling you that. I don't care if I have to fly there myself and gatecrash away from the studio. I'm coming in. I'm coming for you, Guerreros. I'm coming for you. Polanco, you're all right by me at the moment.
Okay.
It's better to be at the devil's side than this path, all right? Remember that. The Rangers thing is slightly different because they went out of business. They were liquidated, so they had to start again with essentially what was a new company, and they had to start back at the bottom. That wasn't, as far as I'm aware, that wasn't a financial fair play thing. As regards your first question about the fine, well, they more than likely will have to pay the fine, but they're going to fight it first. And they've said that they would. I think the chairman of Man City, certainly one of them in the top brass at Man City, said that they would rather pay the top 50 lawyers in the world £30 million or whatever to fight this for the next 10 years than give UEFA a penny. That's kind of the attitude they're going for. But ultimately, the fine isn't a big deal. As you guys have correctly pointed out, they can pay the fine. What's the problem is being banned from the Champions League, because if you're banned from the Champions League for two seasons, what are your players going to do? They've got a bunch of players who are out of contract in 2 years' time. They're not going to spend 2 years not playing in the Champions League. Look at Kevin De Bruyne. I mean, how old will he be in 2 years' time? He needs to be playing in the Champions League now. So what this does have is ramifications for them on the pitch, because their players are going to be restricted from playing in the top tier competition in Europe, which is essentially the top tier club competition in the world. So obviously, it's alarm bells are ringing for the players and their agents as well. I know that Manchester City put a load of messages out to their players. There was a team meeting with Pep Guardiola on the Saturday after the ruling on the Friday, saying, look, trust in the process, we're going to appeal this, stick with us for now. But that's not a long-term strategy, because I just can't see in modern football how top-level players are going to agree to be out of the Champions League for two seasons if the appeal is unsuccessful.
Okay, yeah. I take that as a shot against Arsenal, so we're even.
Okay. Yeah, but so, I always like to be one up. So
it looks like maybe this summer there might be this exodus of all these Manchester City players. So
both of our clubs now have a shot at Champions League.
Hey, we're Let's doing go. It, guys. Up the toffees. Yeah. Let's do it.
Everton is a very ambitious shout. I mean, come on.
I'm excited about it. So, Luke Moore, thank you so much for joining us, man, and enlightening us on what's going on out there in England and in Manchester. Yes, make sure you tune into the Football Ramble daily. Great podcast.
Why even tell them? They all already do, because of the biggest.
No, we appreciate it.
Not enough of them.
Thank you again, Luke Moore of the Football Ramble.
Luke Moore.
Great, great dude. One of my favorite Moores.
Yeah.
I'll be honest.
S'mores is still number one, but
he's getting up there.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's bring it back stateside and talk about.
Why does this keep happening?
On Black History Month, no less.
I know. Come on.
No, we have to talk about head coach of FC Cincinnati.
Former.
Yes. The news came out today. Resigned head coach Ron Jans of FC Cincinnati. So a couple days ago, it had come out that he was under investigation, a racist incident or racial incident.
You're using a racial slur in the locker room.
Correct. And just a lot in particular. And one of the original story came from the Cincinnati Inquirer.
Yep.
And it said in particular that there was music playing and
he was rapping along.
He was rapping along
or singing along. We don't know.
We don't know, right? What kind of bars he got.
Right. Maybe he was trying to hit a tune or something. Okay. He went a little too in. He over karaoke.
You gotta. Yeah. There's certain words in karaoke you gotta skip, my man.
Bro, this is why I tell bars you gotta use the radio edit, my guy.
Okay, because it's gonna cause for a weird, work environment.
All right, because you think you won't get duffed out while you got a mic in your hand, you will.
Okay, the company karaoke parties can get a little weird, real fast,
a little litty.
No, so this was obviously, disappointing. You don't want to see this. Especially from coming from really anyone in any MLS coach, especially, right? Anyone in a position of power, because then it can clearly make the work environment uncomfortable.
Also, it's just like, with all the racist stuff happening in the world in soccer.
Yeah.
The MLS has sort of been able to skirt a lot of this stuff because we tend to be a much more progressive league.
Yeah, skirt it, yeah. As Ron Yams would say.
But he would actually say something else. And we're like, no, Ronnie boy.
No, man.
But this is like what now racism is rearing its ugly head in our league, especially if you read the comments. Wow.
So there, this has been, I think for most people, we you know, this is not a new issue, right? For people know, white people, even if it's in a song, you probably should not say it because it can cause a lot of problems, right? It is the N-word, it is a complex and difficult thing, has a terrible history. So, like, don't get involved in that, right? It's just like an easy thing.
If you want to rap along to a song that has it in it, you have to be skilled enough to not say that word.
That's it. So
remember Chris Rock had a sketch a long time ago where he was in a car with three white people and they were singing along the jigga, what's my mother name, and who I'm rolling with, hon. He turned around he turned to look at everyone, you better not.
Yeah, just like literally the whole FC Cincinnati roster was like, oh, I wonder what he's gonna do right now.
Hey, profe. Who you rolling with?
Okay, just want to make sure it's a little quiet on certain parts. Yeah,
you know, I want to make sure the lyrics don't hit as hard.
So this has been when the investigation first happened, a lot of people, especially in American soccer Twitter, obviously are going to have fun with it, make a lot of jokes, whatever. It is.
Us included.
I mean, us especially.
Yeah, right? We need to know the song.
That was the first question.
Yeah.
What song was it? Because.
It better not be like YG. You know what I mean? You're like, you shouldn't even know the lyrics to this joint.
You got to stay off of rap catalog, my dude.
Man. You went too deep in the catalog. You got to stay pop.
Some things are just not for everybody.
You know what you do? You listen to that song. That ain't for you to be saying.
Okay, you ain't going to Rap Genius and looking up the lyrics.
All right, don't be driving around Compton. That ain't for you, my guy.
So, there's a lot of...
Imagine it was like a Taylor Swift song. The words not even in that song. What you doing?
Yo, you can't be freestyling on these tracks.
Yo, just because there's a moment with no lyrics. Don't mean that's for you to drop bars, my guy.
Okay, that's called a bridge. Bro,
you shouldn't have crossed it. Let the breakdancers do their thing.
We can make jokes for hours.
And this is all we do. Okay?
But the serious aspect of it is that the initial report, and this is as I'm talking about this, like more reports are coming out. So the initial report was saying that a player had filed a complaint and told the coach, told Ron Yans, that his it was a word that was unacceptable to use. We don't know what player, we don't know why, we don't know. So after that came out, the MLS Players Association put out a statement saying that that wasn't
yeah.
That a player did not file a complaint,
right?
And that sort of implies that
it's a way to like attack the players.
Attack the player by saying like,
they're the reason you don't have a coach.
They ratted on or something like that. Yeah. So it's getting messy, right?
Right.
The main issue is that
they're getting messy.
Look, he's having a lot of issues in Barcelona.
All right.
He's a huge fan of rap music and he wants to go to Cincinnati.
He's like, yo, my dude, I know how to not say that word. Let me in. Play a coach.
You can be an ally. Anyway.
You know what I mean?
So, but on a serious note, yeah, it can, having a coach be like that. There's been more reports are coming out, right?
Right.
And saying that he made another racial statement in regards to slavery on some on a DC trip or something like that.
Now's probably the time to mention that he's also Dutch.
He's also Dutch, but he's not an idiot.
No, but like no, Dutch means you know full well.
Oh yeah, yeah.
What happened with slavery, my guy?
Yeah, and Christmas is weird in Holland.
Yeah,
so there's a lot of issues.
Yeah,
and look it up if you don't know what I'm talking about. It's very
very
weird.
Odd.
This is. Overall, it's just like it's getting super convoluted, right? And the resignation, he resigned this morning.
At first, he was suspended. Now he resigned.
So he's officially gone. FC Cincinnati, they they're going back to their interim coach, who I believe is like 29 years old.
Yeah.
And it's just like, he's like, just like a kid. Like,
just kids sweating. Just like, all right,
I'll figure this out.
Come on, boys.
So the fact that it's getting so confusing and, right. and
Here's look, it's really not that confusing. He messed up. You're gone. What's really upsetting me is some of these trash takes by some MLS fans. They're saying, oh, if it's in a song, I'm allowed to. Yeah. Hey, here's what I say. Feel free to just expect a certain repercussion if you're around somebody in particular and you say that word. Like, you deserve to get popped in the mouth if you say that, or worse.
Yeah, look, nobody's condoning violence.
Well, some of us are.
But it is, no one can say that.
I can hear the producer saying they're okay with it.
No one can say that they don't know that the words history and the prop, the society, not even just the social issues. Issues that can arise from casually saying it.
This is a larger conversation for sure. Not something we should be doing on a comedy show or podcast. That said, you don't say the word. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, and Ron Yan should have known better. He's 60 years old.
Yeah.
Yes, he's not, like I was saying, he's not an idiot, right? So the weird thing is that the
rest. Yeah, he's not stepping off the plane and like, he's like, did y'all know about this? No, everybody knew, dog.
Everybody knows. But the resignation kind of and the MLS Players Association statement.
It's like, yo, stop investigating because he quit.
Yeah, makes it seem like the working conditions and his behavior at FC Cincinnati might have been worse than we actually know. And the resignation makes it being like, OK, it's all wrapped up.
Right.
You know, we don't have to look into this anymore. But it looks like it might have been actually worse. And maybe it's an example going forward for the other clubs about like how serious an issue this is.
Right. And hopefully this is a learning lesson for everyone else. Don't say that word. You don't have the right to. And everyone who has that trash take, stop listening to our show. Stop watching our show. Get out of here.
Also, I hate learning lesson. Just lesson. That's the right way to say it.
That's not the only wild thing that's happened. We've been talking about this in the past. U.S. men's national team a little hush. You know what I mean? The whole men's sort of department, if you will, has been real hush when it comes to the women's national team trying to get their equal pay.
Yeah.
Well, turns out they've been just redrafting the most gully letter ever sent.
Because they went in.
They went all the way in. So this is the U.S. Soccer Players Association.
Yes.
They put out a whole, I don't know, I guess this is an open letter?
I mean, it's a more statement. It feels like a statement.
They put out a whole thing explaining how they're like, nah, son. Like, nah, basically.
I love how you
That's the whole thing. It should have just said, son.
I love how you paraphrase.
You know what I mean? Just, I'm reading word for word here. But the whole gist of it is like, not only do we think the women should be paid their fair share, they should be paid a heavy amount. Here's all the proof that we don't agree with. Here's what systematically has been done to sort of knock them down. I mean, they went all the way and they kept receipts.
Yeah, and they really made they highlighted their talks with U.S. Soccer with the Federation on and how those negotiations have gone, because
and they gave perspective as to why the women are in the position they were and how they were sort of pitted against.
Yeah, you sort of just kind of see how they have the same enemy, quote unquote, you know, so do not know that the U.S. men's national team and the U.S. women's national team do not negotiate together when they are negotiating their deals
or with terrorists, which I agree with.
Hey, it's a flat out rule.
It's good to have that. You know, just
Ashton Harris has been like, from day one, I will not negotiate with even one terrorist or Carlos Cordero. Yeah. It's an interesting platform. Yeah, it's like, wait, are they the same?
I know. I kind of agree with her stance, though, because America, you know.
So, but this has been like Alexis did just mention. We haven't heard much, and Ashton Harris a couple months ago
has been sort of the loudest to trumpet this.
Yeah, and say like, wait, why haven't the men been more supportive? And this is not only is this support, but this is also, hey, like, yeah. This is what we dealt with when they were negotiating their deal there.
Like pre-World Cup from players were being sent in.
I believe from 2011 to 2018, right. When they were negotiating like within that time frame, they were like, no, we didn't get paid fairly.
Right.
And then when we saw what the U.S. Women's National Team did recently,
right.
They're getting paid. We didn't even want to get paid while we were getting paid. Yeah. And they're getting paid less than that.
This is an actual, I'm going to read this word for word. This is actually in the statement. Well, we believe should happen is simple. Pay the women significantly more than our recently expired men's deal. In our estimation, the women were due at least triple what our expired deal was worth in player compensation. We believe the Federation should have agreed to a deal directly tied to a fair share of the revenue players generate. This is what should have happened. Based on the entire history of labor negotiations involving the men and women's players of the Federation. And the Federation. Holy Lord.
So this is
unprecedented.
Yeah. So it's nice to see a statement like this. And I think I saw some people also tweeting this as well, that they were saying like, hey, this is nice, but we also need the players themselves to speak out in this manner as well.
I agree. I think that almost is, that's for promotional use only. This is straight up like, nah, yo. These are the folks that go to the bargaining table.
Yes. This is fair, but yeah. I think from, you know, publicity
for solidarity, yeah, you want to see that. Yeah.
I think it would be more helpful because again, you do have the Megan Rapinos, the Ali Kriegers, the Ashton Harris's being in front of a camera saying like, yo, we're not getting paid fairly. And people don't have our back. So that is, I think the extra step, some of the men's national team players, can take, right. But I think there is this weird, like fear for the men that this will hurt their negotiating leverage if they're outspoken.
Well, that's that cat's out of the bag now.
Exactly. So the players themselves should be like, yo, if my union is already speaking like this,
yeah,
you know, I should feel a little bit more comfortable. Hopefully this helps the players speak up more as well.
Yeah, everyone should. Yo, I mean, after this, the gauntlet's been dropped, my guy. What are you waiting for? So, yo, Josie, feel free to tweet whoever your handlers are telling you not to go for it.
So, okay, so we'll be back with more after this, everybody.
Everybody, thanks so much for listening to the podcast. We want to bring in a word from one of our sponsors, us and you.
Us and you, the Cooligans, hey. Gully Squad representing.
First of all, we love you, Gully Squad. And shout out to all our new Gully Squad members. We got a bunch of new ones, especially after we put out that clip of us roasting MLS teams.
Exactly. And if you want to see that, all you got to do is join the Gully Squad.
You want to see that whole video? It gets pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. So for all that exclusive content, that's where you go to see us. So you can join Gully Squad by going to soccercooligans.com and clicking on the Join Gully Squad button.
That's right. And first of all, we want to thank everyone who currently supports us. You have no idea how much your support means to us. It helps us go out and get some of the content that we go out and get. And it's absolutely incredible and super helpful, and it means the world to us. And you guys become a part of our family. You get to join the Gully Squad Slack channel, which is lit, where I sometimes just roast a pizza. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And I got to finally contribute to the pizza channel.
You did not. You put in some disgusting slop.
Gluten-free vegan pizza.
Oh, it was so disgusting. It hurt my heart that you ate that. But there's also like you get a pin. You get the dope little Cooligans pin if you join. And a bunch of stuff. A little pop socket. We got a bunch of stuff.
A lot of perks. So make sure you join. Join the Gully Squad now. Go to soccercooligans.com and click on the Join Gully Squad button.
And we won't make you eat that disgusting pizza.
Okay, welcome back. So, more U.S. soccer stuff, more news in general.
Well, this is good news, though, right?
Well, for some. yeah. Let's start with
hate in your heart.
We have to talk about Jay Berhalter because he just a couple weeks ago.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
About 2 weeks ago, he announced that he will be leaving the job as a VP. Well, not VP. What? He's a CEO.
CEO.
Of
CCO
of U.S. soccer. There he is, Jay Berhalter, brother of Greg Berhalter.
Some Jersey's finest.
Okay. Not everyone would agree on that. It's just the soccer's...
Hold on. Did he help his brother get a job? So, you know how we do in Jersey?
Soccer's royal family.
You know?
Okay.
The Berhalter of the North Jersey Ball Berhalters.
So, Jay Berhalter announcing that he is leaving the job at CCO is arguably, one of the top positions in U.S. soccer, one of the most influential, has his hands in everything when it comes to the team itself, how the team is marketed, the television deals, everything.
Ticket prices, the whole nine. Tickets,
everything. He does it all. Now, I think... So a lot of people didn't even want him to have the conflict of interest that was the fact that the CCO and the head coach of the U.S. men's national team were brothers.
Yes.
A lot of people had an issue with that.
Yes.
And showed like,
some people said that Jay should have been disqualified. Greg should have been disqualified from potentially going for the job because of Jay.
Yes. And then we all saw how that worked out.
Yeah.
And
then Jay took that and he shredded it. He was like, I'm the CCO, dude.
Not interested in all this paperwork.
I hear a lot of opinions that don't matter. I make my own rules.
But no, Phil, he is announcing that he is leaving the job. Right. And I think about 3 months or something like that. So, the weird move here is, why is he leaving?
Right.
And then
it's not like he can go be the CCO of the other federation. You know what I mean?
So there's a lot of questions about why he's leaving. Right. And one might be that I believe that the CEO job that was, I think it's needing to be filled. Mm-hmm. He is not in contention for that job. Right.
They were told that ain't for you.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm down like, hey, this ain't for you, Jay.
Yeah. Nah, dude. How many C-suite jobs do you need, dog?
So and he was like, all right, you're not gonna give me the job, then I'm bouncing. So do you think this is a positive move? Like, did Jay have was he good at his job and this is gonna be a negative thing, or is it we're going to find somebody else and it'll all be fine?
I think the fear is, I don't know if it's a good or bad thing. I'm worried about who becomes CEO, because it seems to me like, from what we're seeing, is that a lot of the numbers are sliding to like negative numbers. Less people are going to games. Ticket prices are becoming more expensive.
Yeah.
You know, these friendlies seem like they don't matter. There's a lot of ill will towards a lot of the men's national team matches, and there's a lot of excitement around the women's national team matches. And it doesn't seem like on the men's side that's being solved. And it seems like that's a primary concern right now for who becomes CEO, is how to right that side of the ship.
Yeah, I think this is an opportunity for U.S. soccer to kind of rebrand itself to some degree.
And that's the funniest thing ever said on the show. Think that's going to happen all of a sudden?
But I'm just saying this.
Oh, my God, look at that tiger. Its stripes are changing. What's wrong with you?
Hey, kitty. Yeah. Little cute kitty.
Look at this. No, you're wrong.
No, I'm just saying, look, if in a perfect world. Yeah. In a perfect world.
Yeah, but have you been paying attention?
So you would help. But I wanted to point out one other thing real quick about the U.S. soccer general meetings, the USSF general meetings, where it just happened this weekend. I know for the most part, this is boring stuff. Nobody wants to hear about, like, hey, what are you going to talk about the budgets for U.S. soccer?
Until a couple old white guys got up and started finger wagging.
But I say, and I deploy this to everybody, I'm saying, like, pay attention to this stuff. If you're a fan of American soccer, a lot of this stuff, a lot of these people that go to these general meetings are all, like, volunteers.
Yeah.
If you want to,
maybe,
like,
you suffer from insomnia. Oh, my God. What a great time.
But this is how you learn about how to change the sport in this country. And there was a speaker at the general meetings that got a lot of publicity because he said the wrong things, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He said the thing. He clearly doesn't have a Twitter account.
Someone gave him a list of don'ts and he was like, all right, I'll read that.
So this was Stephen Flamhaft, which is a surname I never thought I'd ever
rolls
say.
Right off the tongue, along with a little bit of phlegm.
So Stephen Flamhaft, so he got up at the general meetings and spoke, and this is like Carlos Cordero's day. Everybody from U.S. soccer, at the board, everybody, the volunteer.
He basically gave you the drunk uncle speech at a wedding. Yes.
And he went in on the U.S. women's national team that is beloved.
Yeah.
He said, and
we're celebrating against Thailand.
Yeah, I'm pulling out just a couple quotes that were from Bo Dur. He's Dur at Dur Sport. He highlighted these. He was talking about their sportsmanship, and he said that they were humiliating their opponent, and they would boast and preen when humility is in order. What's missing here is the respect that should be shown.
No, what's Uncle. Missing here is the definition for the word preen. Don't you dare come in here with your 1920 English.
So, and then people were starting looking this guy up. Stephen Flamhaft played for the U.S. men's national team.
And he lost like 10-0, 13-0.
In the 60s.
Yeah, so this is PTSD, right? That's what this is.
He's like, I feel for those Thai women.
My man's like, you have any idea what it's like to get your 10th goal scored on you? Have some respect.
Me and those Thailand women understand.
Maybe some of those Thailand players had to go home and their moms looked at them and said, you should have been a bus driver. Maybe that's what happened.
And then Heather O'Reilly who was there as well, also did defend, and she basically like threw the proper shade on Mr. Flamhalf.
Yo, first of all, pregnant Heather O'Reilly.
That's right.
Pimento cheese stealing Heather O'Reilly.
She's changed her name to pregnant Heather O'Reilly.
Came up and was like, scrat, Flamhalf.
You've been Flamhalf.
Yeah, I'm going to flame you in half, my G.
So, yes, a lot going on in U.S. soccer, so please pay attention to it, all right?
And let's talk a little bit about Barcelona, because apparently they went to the school of Newark. You know what I mean?
Yes. Right? Everybody gets in. Nobody gets out.
Two men enter. One leaves. So, apparently, an article was put out in
Bleacher Report.
In Bleacher Report, but it was referencing, it's in Catalan, so I don't know how to read it, but it's like, que te jugues. All right.
Whoa, I don't know why.
I don't know what happened, but my tongue exploded. So someone call an ambulance. But Catalan, why still speak this language? No one else does. Stop handing me menus in it. All right. No one. I don't know what this means, dog. I came here for your meats. Just bring it to me. Anyway, they apparently have suggested that Barcelona has hired a firm to put out social media accounts that would praise their front office, yet start hitting against Messi, Puyol, and like two other players.
Okay.
And start putting out negative sort of rumors about them.
Yeah, yeah. So this is, you sort of seen stuff like this before.
Right.
Because I remember I was listening to a podcast from Miko Grimes. Miko Grimes, wife of cornerback, Tampa Bay Buccaneers cornerback,
right.
Brent Grimes.
Also, ride or die.
Right, without a doubt.
Without a doubt.
Right. And she was talking about how whenever players were, like, say, negotiating contracts with their teams.
Right, right, right.
The teams themselves.
Well, this is her theory, because stuff started leaking about the player negative.
Yeah, yeah.
So, to hurt that value.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
So this is not like particularly unheard of. And we're starting to see more stories, especially recently, about Messi like being unhappy or being critical.
I'm starting to think Barcelona is the one that put out that video of the dude playing the Messi drum and Messi just not knowing what to do. Just standing there really uncomfortable. He's like, oh yeah. Like he's off beat.
If you haven't seen this video, it is.
Chilling.
Yeah, you worry about Messi. You're
like, I think he had a seat in Mecca.
I think he's never heard music before.
Yo, my man, I don't think his head knows what to do when music is playing.
Because he is like bobbing around like a bobblehead. He doesn't know any of this works.
Wildly uncomfortable.
Messi, and this is why Messi, like we all revere him for being such a great player, but socially, he is like, even Maradona has always been
the best socially. I mean, almost as good socially as he was on the field.
But Maradona, very vocal. He's always been like, Messi, greatest player, the worst, like, no personality.
Yeah.
He just straight up roasts him.
Yeah, I mean, it's Maradona. It's like, you can't even do blow with this guy. Yeah.
How can I trust him?
I mean, you know, I thought we were friends. Yeah.
You know what? But I'm doing blow in front of him, and he looks at me weird.
Right? Oh, why? Because I'm doing it off the table at your house, and you didn't even invite me in? Which, by the way, we still need to talk about. Why didn't you invite me in here? Is it because I'm doing blow in front of your family? Because the kid wants them. You know? Allegedly. Right. By the way, this is all characters.
Got the commercial.
Everybody, thanks so much for listening. We want to bring in with a word from one of our sponsors, Fubo TV.
Fubo TV, and this is the perfect time, right? If you are watching UEFA Champions League.
Yeah, right now is the perfect time.
Right now, yeah, because Champions League is going on, and CCL and CONCACAF Champions League, the superior Champions
League.
All
the Champions League, the Europa Leagues, all of them.
Exactly, and Fubo TV will give you the opportunity to watch all of them. I mean, just incredibly easily. The app is just seamless. It's a great...
And it doesn't stop. It doesn't fall apart like some of the other ones in the past have. Mm-hmm. This Fubo TV is absolutely incredible. We're really proud that we work for a company that has such an incredible app that lets you watch all that. And we want to help you get a little bit off, right? Because that's what we do.
You get a nice little deal.
A little discount. You know a guy. Us.
We're the guy.
Together. None of this is uncomfortable.
So all you got to do is go to FuboTV.com/Cooligans.
What is that again?
FuboTV.com/Cooligans.
And what you going won't get.
You're going to get $30 off, and you'll also get a free trial for 7 days.
Come on now. You're going to get free time plus some money off. What more do you want? All you got to do is go to FuboTV.com/Cooligans. I think I'm losing my mind.
Get some rage issues.
At the time of this recording, I will have gone 24 hours without eating.
Yes.
So your boy is starting to flip out a little bit.
For someone who loves food so much, why would you deprive yourself?
Oh, baby. I need you in my life. Call me that. Prettiest girl I ever saw.
Hello, everyone.
Was that TKA that just came out of my mouth? I'm losing my mind.
My name is Christian Polanco.
Yes, it is. And I'm going crazy. I'm Alexis Guerrero.
All right. We are the Cooligans. We are your favorite stand-up comedians. I host the funniest soccer show that you have ever seen.
Uh-huh. And heard.
All right.
And it's not just that, it's also the gulliest that you've seen and heard.
you are using your eyes and your ears to acknowledge how gully it is.
That's right. And when 3D podcasts and TV shows come out, you'll be able to touch as well.
With the gulliest show you can touch.
The kind that you can feel.
So, yes, a lot going on.
How have you been, Christian?
I'm fine. I just ate a Kit Kat a couple seconds ago.
I know. Wild disrespectful. You stared at me the whole time.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'd rather not talk about your eating disorder anyway. So let's talk about a couple things going on in soccer.
Let's go.
Specifically the MLS expansion team, Inter Miami, who may not be Miami for too much longer.
Well, they should just go by International Miami. What's the difference?
I guess technically, legally, there are differences in that, right?
So Inter is something that Inter Milan can say they own. They have the legal rights to it.
Yes.
Also, in the U.S., they were that sharp that they went out and they're like, yo, we're going to trademark out here as well.
Yeah, but that's a common thing, right? You see it like on Shark Tank, right? They go up to the sharks.
Of course, we all watch Shark Tank.
they say, hey, I have a patent here and in China,
right.
Wherever people are ripping off products,
right.
That's where you need to get a patent.
We are secure from being ripped off in these three countries.
No, but this is a setback for Inter Miami because Inter Milan is challenging their ability to use the name Inter before whatever it is that they want to call themselves.
It was almost as if this name wasn't vetted properly.
They were like,
now you tell us after we got the shirts printed?
We were going to call it Arsenal Miami.
Yeah.
And we were like, nah, let's not do that one.
So Paris Saint-Miami is not allowed, you're saying?
They don't even sound the same.
Hey, come on.
It says Miami right there at the end. You can't tell?
Did you see right next to where we scratched off Paris?
So in a court, the judge had ruled that as far as the argument about Inter Miami saying like, no, there won't be any confusion between the two teams.
Well, here's the thing. No one calls them Inter.
Yeah,
call them Inter Miami.
Correct.
And you can't confuse Inter Miami with Inter Milan.
No, you will never. You never will.
People are like, wait, Miami, is that a neighborhood in the Milano district? No, people know what we're talking about.
But that's the case that they lost. They lost their first argument in basically saying that it wouldn't cause any confusion.
Right.
And the judge ruled, no, it would
cause. Crazy.
You crazy.
No, man, it's the same word, dog.
I don't even watch soccer, but I know English.
Yeah. I mean, it's spelled the same. It looks the same.
It's just too many similar syllables.
Yeah.
And so they lost that first argument. So I believe the next challenge will be
a street fight, which I gotta be honest, I think Miami got this one.
Battle for the Inter.
You know?
So no, this is a big issue because they might have to change. I mean, obviously the branding, the who knows, the logo.
Yeah.
There could be a lot.
The logo stays because it says Club International, no, Club Football. What is it again?
I think it's CF. CS.
Yeah. They don't have to change the logo. They just have to change what they wanted to use as their nickname.
Yeah. I mean, but I'm just saying there's a lot of branding with that the name is there. And so
I think now's the chance to rename the team though, right? I mean, if you had some worry about the name, now we can go with the Fidel wouldn't let us do this FC.
Interesting approach. Yeah. Interesting approach.
You know what I mean? I'm just saying.
What wouldn't he let you do?
Everything. Have you spoken to an old Cuban? You go to the supermarket, you hear, Fidel wouldn't let us do this. Picking your own parking spot. Fidel wouldn't let us do this. Everything. Going to church. Having a meal.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'm glad we got
ejaculating. All of it. Fidel wouldn't let you do anything.
Yeah, so why? Fidel had his hands in everything, apparently. Yeah.
Well, not in that, just so that no one has, you know, you're not allowed to.
Doesn't want
to
arouse anyone. I'm curious to see how this will turn out, because I have a feeling they will lose.
Yeah, but I don't think it's really that big of a deal if you just can't use Inter, you know?
Okay, but they have to. So, all right. So
what if they say Club Inter? Club Inter.
I don't know. I think they still might lose that kind of case. That's what I'm saying. It's too similar. But
you
just,
know, you do the you name throw a silent my... H. Throw a silent H in there.
Miami.
Not in the Miami part. In the Inter part. Is that say Inter? Yeah, but the H is Spanish, though.
Oh, you gotta,
don't you know Spanish, my G?
You're being racist right now. No.
Wow, Ron Jantz.
So I hope it works out, because I like the name. I like the name Inter Miami. I mean, it's just a dope name.
I don't think it's necessary. Who cares? Move on. Change. Oh, you got to burn a couple shirts? Get out of here.
Really? Is that simple? Yeah. Speaking of Miami, the other thing, two big things with the club. Obviously, they officially announced their DP.
That's right.
Rodolfo Pizarro.
Which is a huge get from Monterrey.
Huge get, which was interesting because he
there's a picture of his foot. Oh, there he is. That's for all you Quentin Tarantino fans out there. Hell yeah, get up in them toes, dog.
I thought it was Uma Thurman for a second.
Is the clock set to 420 behind him?
No, but a huge signing, obviously, and obviously a lot of drama from leaving Monterrey and getting to Miami. But then the other thing that was interesting was that he played in their preseason match before he was announced. He scored
right
in their preseason match before he was officially
They're
announced.
Like, goal as a scored by you know who? Can't really say.
This guy, his hair is silver.
Yeah.
Okay. I think it was Anderson Cooper. Right. I do not know.
His last name rhymes with Hisaro.
I pronounce the H.
Boo. Racist. I'm excited about this because we had a great conversation with Emily Olsen.
That's right. Emily Olsen, a writer for Pro Soccer USA, and you've heard her. You could basically hear her every day.
She's like a producer and co-host of the United States of Soccer with Jason Davis, the homie. On SiriusXM FC, and we talked to her a little bit about sort of the difference between writing and sort of finding her voice on satellite radio.
So we had a great conversation with her. This was at the United Soccer Coaches convention,
United a lot here,
which we were in Baltimore a couple weeks ago. And we have a lot of conversations about the medium, about DC United, right. a lot of stuff, because she is a beat reporter for DC United as well. So here's our conversation with Emily Olsen.
Yeah, we are still at the U.S. Soccer Coaches Convention. United Soccer Coaches Convention.
Yes, I got to correct them every single time.
It's not the U.S. Soccer Coaches Union. Well, I'm starting that conference. Hey, it's not going to be in Baltimore, I'll tell you that. No, wonderful town. And look, we keep saying it. I mean, the stars that walk by here are just amazing. And one day we'll interview one. But for now, this is a homie of the show.
That's
we
right.
We got to create a list of homies of the show.
Yeah, there's guests.
Yeah.
And there's homies.
There's fam. Which is like, you've been here long enough. But then there's homies like you who we're really texting when we go to your city. The fam is like, we don't want to see you. We'd rather chill with the homies, right? But right now, I mean, one of the best writers in American soccer, covers DC United as well, and a producer at SiriusXM FC.
Mm-hmm.
And there was something else. I forgot.
Writer for Pro Soccer USA.
I did say it already. I was a writer for Pro Soccer USA. Oh, and it's at ProSoccerUSA.com. I put some respect on that name because they don't know how to buy a handle that closely affiliates people with the business name. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together unless you're driving for the one, the only, Emily Olsen.
Emily, how's it going?
It's good. good. It's good. I mean, it was good until I got here, but everything else has been good.
Okay, so. Good.
No, I'm honored to be a homie. That is you're one
of the homies.
That is a true honor.
You got bullet holes in your car. That's not a joke.
It's real. Yeah. It's real.
She 100%. Someone hit the car with the ratchet.
Well, look, what can you say? Emily has a lot of enemies.
The reason I'm okay parking here on the street was, you know, the cred that my car has.
Yeah, exactly. Because you made. You get out the car and they're like, yo, she one of us, dog.
Emily, the first time we met you was when you came to New York.
Right.
And you were in town for doing something with SiriusXM. But you, we should start with the fact that you work with a friend of ours, right? Who with Jason Davis of United States of Soccer. I'm sorry. First of all, I think that's where we should start.
Well, can we talk about how you labeled him a friend and not a homie? I get it.
Yeah,
I
made that abundantly clear.
Yeah. I hope he hears this.
We have, I keep him at arm's length. You know what I'm saying? But Jason Davis been involved in American soccer for a long time. What is it like working on the show, producing that show, and being a part of one of the few American soccer shows that is like it's on the radio. It is we have it for every other sport, right?
Yeah.
Where people can call in or whatever and yell at the doom. You're giving the wrong opinion, you know?
Yeah.
You have to like field those calls.
Yeah.
What do
they say? Like, I'm Ben from Cleveland. Jason doesn't know what he's talking about. All right. Well, you're just behind Steve from Cincinnati, who thinks Jason doesn't know what he's talking about.
What is the job like for you?
Yeah. So I was in soccer for 3 years before that, mostly as a beat reporter, mostly doing journalism. And then the opportunity came to go to Sirius. And like you said, it's one of the only 24-hour talk radio stations on soccer. If you go to Sirius, you get the NFL, you get NHL, but you also get soccer. And like you're saying, the new unique part of United States of Soccer is it has that figure that is polarizing.
Yeah.
And that's important because every sport has one. And I feel like you as a sport have made it into the American sports culture when you have people that are sitting there disagreeing, being angry, because, you know, the opposite of love isn't hate. It's ambivalence. You want people to disagree, to have passion. And you know, that's, I love it because I love seeing that side of it. Not just, I mean, we're here at the United Soccer Coaches Convention and
it's the United States Soccer Coaches Convention.
United States of Soccer Coaches Convention. but it's nice to, you know, it's nice to see all the technical side and a lot of youth soccer, but what you get from listening to Sirius and all the shows on it is people seeing it as entertainment, not just something their kids do, but seeing as a legitimate form of entertainment.
Okay.
So, right. It's not a way to just tire your kids, you know?
it's like a lullaby to rock it. Yeah.
Make your kids run around a little bit, double headers. They talk back less. It's not exactly what it is. Soccer can be a big, fun entertainment sport. And I think, you know, SiriusXM FC does an incredible job of that. What is your, when you look at your career, you're looking at yourself as a writer, and you've been writing for how long now?
So this will be, I don't know how to do seasons to year because math is hard, but this will be going into my sixth season covering DC United. In the last two years, I've kind of branched out into doing national team, both on the men's and women's side.
Yeah.
And the last 2 years, I've also done Washington Spirit stuff in NWSL.
So you're really expanding as a writer as well. But you're also kind of now finding a bit of a voice on that, what we'll call radio.
Yeah.
Right? Where do you see the future of your career? Like, do you want to write more? Do you want to be more of a voice in the game? Because I think one of the reasons why we like talking to you so much is because a voice like yours is so sorely missing in this game, which is just a woman's voice who kind of understands the sport and talks about it from a men's and women's perspective unabashedly. And I know there's a lot. I'm not saying you're the only one, but someone like that on SiriusXM FC doesn't really, you don't hear that all the time.
Yeah, and it's not the fact that those women don't exist out there as in anything. Those voices don't not exist. It's that they aren't at the forefront. And so I don't yet see myself that way. I don't see myself as that voice yet. I don't know what it is, but I don't see myself there.
I certainly see that there's maybe a potential if you keep going to be that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You can be the Stephen A. Smith of soccer.
Oh, dude.
We can leave that to Jason, and I'll be whatever kind of calms him down.
Scream louder than Jason.
Emily's like, this is preposterous. Did you put 17 syllables in preposterous?
But to answer your question, as far as where is it going, that kind of stuff, I you know, I'm still, my background is in reporting. My background is in writing. Anything that I say, I want to be a voice that connects people in the game. So, you know, if you see yourself in a player, that's great. If you see yourself in one of the players that I cover through a story, whether it's finding out about something on the field, their struggle, how they got to where they are, or even if it's, you know, I guess if it's myself, if you see yourself in someone and you share that common love, which is soccer, I think that's the point. And so anything in my career that can take me to a place, whether it's through myself, which is something I'm a little less comfortable with, or through the stories that I write, that's what I want to do.
Okay.
See, now here's my advice to you. And I know you've been waiting, Ryan, bated breath. Here's my thing. And here's why I prefer talking over writing. One, effort, much less. Two, when you write, like, you get to talk shit when you talk. When you write it, it sounds so mean. It hurts. Other people see it.
Whoa, what is this? What is this manifesto?
Know, right? It doesn't go away either. Like 5 years later, you just Google those words and that article comes back up. It hurts so much. Like when I say something, we all kind of laugh at the end and it didn't hurt as much.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Or at least I think until you talk to people 5 years later. Right? Like what is it about writing that you don't see, or like, Why is it that you connect yourself to writing so much? Is it just because what you love to do? Or for me, it's like I'd much rather talk than write, because talking is like it kind of just like disappears and I get to do it again tomorrow, you know?
I'm starting to like talking more. I'm starting to get more into that. But the reason, you know, I started at writing, and then the other thing is, as much as you can maybe hear that tone or that sarcasm in my voice, which isn't the goal, you can I feel like in my writing I can portray someone else's story better.
Yeah.
So you can sit and listen to me, and especially with social media where everyone is able to tell their own story.
Right. So
you
annoying.
Can sit and listen to me. It's where's my job going?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
You can sit and listen to me on the radio, give my take. But if I want to actually tell the story of the people that I'm covering, which is, I would say right now, 60% of what I want to do, it's easier for me to kind of describe the way yesterday or 2 days ago at the NWSL draft, the first overall pick at one point started crying when someone asked her a question, because she was just, she couldn't believe
the
Sophia
question
Smith.
Was, the question was, can you cry on command?
Yeah. The question was, whatever happened to your dog? It just starts crying.
That's also a thing. Yeah. Sophia Smith was talking about the advice she would give her younger self. And I was able to write, you know, her eyes welled up with tears of joy, which is a little cliche, but it's true. And I feel like when you're reading that and then you read her exact words, you kind of hear it from her more
right.
than it me.
Of course,
so it's a
There's
balance.
There's a meaningfulness
between,
to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, look at you caring. Ew, Emily.
I think Alexis's question was generally, why do books exist?
Just tell me what happened.
There's so many apostrophe S's. He can't handle it.
Yeah, dude. Parentheses, whatever.
Semicolon.
Yeah. Ew. Be a whole colon, dude.
Get your semicolon. Yeah. Check,
ain't
everybody.
No such thing as halfway colons.
Anyway, let's talk real quick about DC United. You've been covering the team for a long time. A couple big moves. Edison Flores, Peruvian national, joining the team.
The team took him to a Peruvian restaurant, which is kind of dope.
Apparently not the best one, though. Bill Hamid had his voice on Twitter. He clapped back. He said that. I personally don't know.
He took him to
Peruvian I don't restaurant. Know what Bill Hamid's preference in Peruvian chicken is, but it's not where they went. Oh. So.
And for those of you who don't know Bill Hamid, he's the Peruvian national team player. And also chef. Shouts to Bill Hamid. I'm all here for food hot takes. Only reason I started a soccer podcast.
I don't care if I ain't from your country. Yeah, I know your food.
Yo, that's the best Ethiopian restaurant. How come no one asked me?
So it's interesting. The transition from Wayne Rooney leaving to now DC United. Look, as far as we were there, we did a live show at Audi Field, which was super fun. But the transition from Wayne Rooney to now, it's looking like DC United compared to the last couple years where they were like they weren't really signing big players, they weren't making those big moves, and now I guess after Rooney, it's like, all right, now we're gonna go.
Grandma died. We got a lot of money.
It seems like they no longer want to be this like irrelevant club that they were, dealing with for the last couple of years. So is it just Audi Field? Was that the thing that kind of triggered everything to take everything more seriously?
Well, you mentioned someone's grandma dying. I'm still trying to figure out where the money came from because they let Rooney go on a free.
Yeah.
He went to Derby County, who is in danger of being relegated.
Okay. All right.
On a free. I just want to throw that out there. Yeah. But
it's like if your man left you for like a girl who's going back into rehab. Come on.
But yeah, so you see this transition. I think that what happened with DC United over the last couple of years is that they're MLS original, and they have been trying for so long. Jason Levy, as soon as he got to the club, wanted to get that stadium done. You know, they wanted to get out of our RFK that, you know, we saw Pablo's reports, Pablo Maurer, that there's asbestos and lead. They wanted to get out of there.
Sure.
And to this new stadium. What happened? It happened quickly. Things were kind of rushed. They didn't. They weren't really sure how they were going to go from missing the playoffs the previous year to becoming a real contender. And in 2018, in July, that solution was Wayne Rooney. Yeah. And he came there. The marketing was there. He gave his all for a year and a half and then decided not to, but gave his all and put them on the map as far as marketing and playing. They went from last to first. It was a great story. All happened. They kind of lucked into it.
It all seemed to work out.
Yeah. And then a season and a half later, they're sitting here without Wayne Rooney, who wants to go home because of family. Luciano Acosta, who kind of got pushed to the side because he wasn't fitting into that formula anymore, is leaving. Lucas Rodriguez, who I think had the possibility to be a breakout star. Absolutely. Yeah. If they got that loan deal done, all these players are gone. They're trying to sit back. They have their feet under them now, and it's how are we going to move forward in a way that's going to last? Because Rooney was a short-term solution at the end of the day. I mean, even if he did stay the full time, he wasn't going to be there more than 2.5 seasons, maybe 3 at best, maybe a marketing, but that all, you know, went away. So Edison Flores is a look at what DC is trying to do in the long term. He's 25. He is in the peak of his career, did fantastic in Liga MX, and is a Peruvian national team. He played, I believe, every game in Copa America last year. Mm-hmm. He is going to slot in, play centrally, unless they're able to get a number 10 deal across with another player. He's going to slot in centrally. They're going to have Yamil Assad. They're going to have Paul Areola and Ola Kamara in the attack. They're looking at something that is long term for the first time in a very long time.
Yeah, the first time in a long time that I'm like, yo, DC United, it's exciting, you know?
It's a signing for the future, which I don't think Rooney was. Rooney was a signing for right now, you know?
But it's because if you think about it, you're opening something new. You're showing something off. You guys move to TV. You want a big star as your first guest. You want to show people this is cool.
Our first guest was Grant Wall.
Which is a big superstar.
Right? I think you can hear the helicopter taking off as soon as the interview was over.
But you want to introduce, we're here. Look at our shiny new stuff. And now it's like, all right, we put all our chips in trying to get that.
Yeah.
And now it's how do we make this sustainable?
And do you, because Edison Flores, is he going to get asses in the seats the same way that Rooney did? Because I think that's still a concern for DC.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's a concern for every team. I mean, when you look at the not official, but pretty much official Chicharito to LA Galaxy, they had to do that because LAFC came in and they're one of the few teams, even Vela, as far as outside of that soccer bubble, isn't getting people in seats. It was because they had stars. They had very beautiful soccer. They were playing. They were fun. And LA Galaxy went to the wayside. They got Zlatan because they needed him. Mm-hmm. And now they got Chicharito because they need him. They have Pavon. Pavon's not going to give them seats. Chicharito will get people in seats. They will bring up the level to even the playing field because they're not going to play LAFC football or soccer. And if you look at around the league, that's happening. And DC United isn't there yet. I don't see it happening this season. Mesut Ozil was an option for a little bit. He's not. He's too expensive. As an Arsenal fan, you know that.
Yeah.
But
you will get the coffee shop.
The coffee shop. That's it, which is really crucial.
It's on hold.
Oh, man.
No.
I have been
brewing?
Told. It's still brewing. Yeah. It's called 39 Steps. I think they're at the 30th step.
Oh, damn.
Okay, wow. Steps.
No, they were going to open it up.
That's an rehab program. That's a lot. Yeah. A lot of effort.
It's apparently the amount of steps. It's the amount. Yeah. And that's not because I'm against it.
How many people are you apologizing to in the 33rd step?
Wow, dude? You really hurt a lot of people.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, so that's on hold because they're just not ready for it. There's a lot of development. That's probably not going to, you're not going to get Ozil's coffee anytime soon.
Yeah.
Just letting you know.
Damn. So much happening. The thing that I love about DC, as far as DC United is concerned, is we're talking about a club that was a dynasty when MLS started. Constantly winning. I even thinking back to how the logos were created, DC United was like, we're going to go our own way. We're not going to use, you know, like the American designer. They went out and got a European designer. And like, even the badge and it feels so like more European and more classic. Something about the club has always felt like they had everything right. And then we get to now and everything still feels like a lot of it is in flux. For someone who follows the team, are the waters calming a bit more? Do you see like there's a direction?
I think there's a direction on the field. I think that DC United, like you're saying, gets a lot of excuses because they are that traditional team. So yeah. It's like, all right, you guys have been here the longest. We'll let you slide. We'll let you slide. I think they're realizing they can't slide anymore.
Yeah.
And again, Flores is one of those. A couple of the other signings that are brewing that haven't happened yet are in that direction of trying to catch up because they can't slide anymore. I think there are aspects overall at the club that are still in flux, definitely, and I don't know how long they'll be there.
Yeah.
But on the field, as far as playing style, they're heading in that direction. And I just lost what I was going to say, but no. They're heading in that direction.
Yeah, that's good. And Ben Olsen will save the day, and everyone will love him again.
I can't wait 30 years when I look back at my career, and Ben Olsen is still the manager of DC United.
But he's a fantastic person. Fantastic.
Absolutely.
Person.
Great dude. He was on our show.
Yeah, great dude. It's just, I mean, he's the longest tenured coach, right, in Major League Soccer, if I'm not mistaken. Is it longer than Vermees, right?
Yeah.
I believe Vermees is longer.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but it's impressive.
Because he was an assistant first 2010, and, right. And Vermees was.
You actually, is Ben Olsen the longest tenured coach, Glenn Crooks?
The answer
is. In MLS?
In MLS, currently?
Currently.
If Glenn Crooks doesn't know, then nobody knows. Actually, Emily. We don't have the rights to that song, Glenn.
The way I sang it, I don't think
So, it's Peter Vermees.
Oh, sure. You can,
I mean, it's as if none of this is going to go on TV, really.
I'm because he came in 2010 as a coach and Ben was an assistant.
Okay,
you can check me on that.
Hey. Put all this on air. Please don't edit this out. NWSL. Now you're covering the Washington Spirit a bit more. We went to the NWSL final, and it feels like there's like and maybe it's just a World Cup bounce. I want to know your opinion. It feels like there's something fun. Feels like there's like a new level of energy that's being sort of created around NWSL. It feels like it's just going to continue to go up from here. What are your thoughts on it? Do you think it's just a World Cup bounce?
And I'll add this for the Washington Spirit. Are they they played games at Audi Field. Is that an idea or plans to make that permanent or no? Or yeah, adding to that. Yeah, go
yes.
for it.
So they played two games last year at Audi Field against Orlando Pride and Reign FC. And those are two teams heavily they've got World Cup players, Ali Krieger, Ashlyn Harris, and then if the Reign, Megan Rapinoe. So
yeah. Speaking of homies, all three.
Your homies. Yeah. They broke the records. The year before they tried it with the opening of Audi Field, they got 7,000. Last year, they had two performances that averaged 18,000.
That's
both
incredible.
Both reaching sellouts for Audi Field. And so what that did, and the Spirit's under new ownership, they have a new coach in Richie Burke. Their goal is to what I'm getting from the team is their goal is to move into a place like Audi Field, not because Soccerplex is bad, but because there is that interest. People in the DC area want to watch them. If you look at the Soccerplex, which is where they play or played before, it's about an hour outside the city into Maryland.
Yeah.
And it holds about 5,000 people. And if they're averaging these, I think there's definitely that World Cup bump. You talk about the World Cup players involved, but I think that people get there and there's an excitement still, and they go there and it's really good soccer to watch. Richie Burke has a team playing a very fun attacking style that he wants them to go for goal, and that has them losing a couple games 1-0, but they're really trying and they're playing attacking. So this season they've worked out a deal which is, I think, on the lower side of amount of games they want to play at Audi Field. It's 4-4-4. So they have 4 home games at Audi Field. They're going to play 4 at the Maryland Soccerplex, and then they have 4 at Segra Field, which is, again, an hour, but into Virginia, where Loudoun United plays. And the additional part of that, which is the biggest, is that they are kind of working with DC United, a partner, to use their training facility. So DC's opening that new Leesburg training facility in September, and they're going to have their own section of it. They're going to be able to train and really be treated like professional athletes, because I don't know if either of you have ever been to the Soccerplex.
No.
But there's my favorite quote came from DeMarcus Beasley when they played an Open Cup game there, because DC United would play their Open Cup games at Maryland Soccerplex. There was a youth volleyball tournament going on inside. So the players were literally curtained off and getting mixed in with these youth. DeMarcus Beasley was getting rubbing elbows with youth soccer. It was like volleyball, moms and dads, youth players. And he just went off about how this isn't professional. And that,
yeah, I remember
and
that.
You look at it and that's where the spirit plays. And it's a fantastic facility, but it just doesn't have the capacity to treat these women like the professionals that they are.
And they deserve that for
Marcel
sure.
Marcel Vell plays for them.
Yeah.
You know, she's and Andy Sullivan just got called up. These women are World Cup stars, breakout stars. They're going to be Andy Sullivan has the potential to be the captain of the U.S. Women's National Team. And they're playing in this facility. So, again, nothing
like
against
Bell,
it.
Even if you don't know her as a soccer player, she's an Instagram star. Her dog is an Instagram star.
Respect her. Yeah.
She should have her own section.
Well, we've seen what's going on with Sky Blue FC and that move to Rebel Arena. So it seems like what a great model, what a great opportunity for some of the other under-resort clubs that do work with MLS teams to just like, man, I saw the sellouts and just the numbers at Audi Fields for the Spirit games, and it's great. It just seems like it would make the most sense, right? Just like to go for it. So I just like not now we were just at the NWSL draft, and you saw all the energy for Sky Blue, and it's like the Washington Spirit could be that. Have that kind of momentum now.
What a change from the last NWSL draft we were at, where people were like, players were like, I'm not playing for Sky Blue.
Yeah.
They were getting picked. And now it's like, that's the club you want to be at. Everyone's like, there's such a fever pitch around it. Maybe this is something that you're not familiar with because you handle mostly DC sports, but maybe because you cover NWSL, you can help us understand it a little bit more. When we were in Los Angeles, there was like this, all this excitement about LAFC potentially having a women's team. And then that sort of died down. And someone had told us that there's like a bit of an issue because the way NWSL is as a business, like you have to buy into NWSL or something like that. Are you familiar with that situation at all?
I don't know the specifics about the buying into it, but with LAFC, they have, you know, Mia Hamm as part of their ownership.
Yeah, and she was like a big proponent of it.
And they really want it. The thing with NWSL, what they're dealing with right now is their involvement with U.S. soccer and how U.S. soccer funds part of the league, what's happening there. And also, it wasn't long ago that the Boston Breakers folded because they didn't have the support. So I think right now, you see Louisville, they're going to come in 2021. They'll be here next season. There'll be an expansion draft. You'll see that. And I think we've heard comments earlier about from executives at NWSL that they're looking towards expansion. But I think you have to look at the World Cup bump and be careful about that. But then also, all of these teams are trying to figure out the best way to go about it, because it's not uniform. It's not like the rest of the world. You have Chelsea and Chelsea women's team, and Chelsea has boatloads of money from wherever.
Sure.
Back pockets, wherever it's coming from.
Right. Just share some.
and if they want to boost their league, they just got Sam Kerr. They have money that they can throw at it. Whereas these NWSL teams, some are, if you look at the Portland Thorns and Timbers, some work like that. You look at Utah Royals and RSL,
yeah.
They're together. You look at DC United, Spirit, they're two separate entities that are partnering together. Or you look at the Courage and North Carolina FC, that's a USL club, or the same with Louisville. So there's not a uniform way for these clubs to, and I don't think they all should, because you've seen it fail in certain places in Florida.
Right. Do it your own way.
there isn't this uniform way of money or ownership being put in. And I think that's also something that owners are trying to figure out, as well as getting league sponsors. So I think it's more about pace and figuring out to make it sustainable, rather than just kind of, it's the cool thing now to, because Atlanta was also in the conversation. Like, you don't want it to be the cool thing now for an MLS team to have an NWSL team. But if they're willing to actually invest, you do. So I think it's a little bit of that.
Right. I mean, also people kind of expect that NYCFC will have them because they have a girls academy. So it's like, if you have a women's academy, wouldn't it make sense to have a top flight team for them, or just a professional team for them to aspire to play to, as opposed to just have sort of a development for with no angle.
Yeah.
So you make these sort of like, as a fan, you make these connections. You're like, oh yeah, MLS team will just have a women's team, but then it doesn't necessarily work that way. So hopefully there's a way that they can come together a little bit more.
Yeah. All right.
What are you hopeful for with the Olympics coming up? I know there's a big push for a lot of these players, to get in. Carly Lloyd is trying her hardest to get in. Alex Morgan is still training as if she's not 6 months pregnant.
She's going to play in the Olympics
If her water breaks, give her a red so she can go in.
Serena Williams won things pregnant. So I think Alex Morgan can absolutely do
it. If anyone can, yeah. We got it.
And I also think that she'll have the baby by the time the Olympics roll around.
She's
not going to be 12 months pregnant. But
you never know. My mom, I was in there for like 16 months, dude. It was comfortable. Came out with a cigar.
The Olympics,
is that something you want to cover?
I'm probably not going to get over to Tokyo this year, that's fine, but to cover it from here.
Oh, you changed where you're summering?
I summer in Tokyo from time to time, but I switched it this year. I'm interested again to see how NWSL manages it. The Olympics on the women's side is much bigger than it is on the men's side. Yeah. On the men's side, it's the under 23s with the three over. The women's side, it's a 28-person roster with your top players, and you're trying to win it. And the United States is trying to do something that they've never done before, which is World Cup to Olympics gold.
Yeah.
I think that's exciting. I think that push is exciting. I think you change your head coach and the tactics, and it adds that refresh while keeping some of the players. Like, I am not going to bet against Carly Lloyd ever.
Never.
Would definitely see her. I mean, she was on a panel this morning and left right away to go train. So I have no. I would say
she
she's going to be
in the middle
on
of a question.
I gotta start my mile.
Sorry. She jogged to Philly, dude. Yeah.
But so I'm excited, one, to see that from a distance, but then again to see how NWSL handles it, because there's plenty of the Spirit just traded Mallory Pugh to Sky Blue during the draft to get three picks this year, one next year. One of the picks they got is Ashley Sanchez from UCLA, and she left school as a junior, which her and the number one pick, Sophia Smith, left as a sophomore. This is something new you're seeing as well. These women, there's allocation money, there's money, there's a chance for them to stay domestic and start their career at the peak. So I'm excited to see an Ashley Sanchez, who's on the cusp of the national team, grow during the NWSL season, while say her teammates Rose Lavelle and Andy Sullivan are at the World Cup, and how these players grow, because I think there are more young players coming in, and I think that during these international competitions you see other players step up. For the Spirit specifically, it was Ashley Hatch stepping up with Mallory Pugh gone, and you see them. You know, they're just on the cusp of making the national team, but everyone can't make it. And that's when you really see these players. Midge Purse on the West Coast, she stepped up. So you see these players kind of step up, and it's almost a higher level. I mean, NWSL has the level and the interest to be the best league in the world. And I think when some of these national team players, when you don't have the stars and you actually sit and watch the games, those are the competitive ones.
Yeah.
Because, you know, everyone's trying to get noticed. Everyone sees the opportunity to step up.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So many changes happening.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited about especially the Olympics. I mean, the last Olympics was the U.S. lost against Sweden, right?
2014.
Was that what? What was the one where Hope Solo said all the trash about Sweden, then there was this now rivalry about like basically not respecting them. So a lot to look forward to this
year. Hope Solo would do that.
Well, Emily, thank you so much for joining us. I'm glad we this was.
Where can people follow you?
Yeah, we didn't know what we were going to talk about, and we got into made stupid jokes and we got real information as well. So that we best of both worlds. So
Emily sat there while we were done, and then she finished her sentence.
True professional. So Emily, where can people follow you and where they can see your work?
Yeah, so you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Emily T. Olsen, O-L-S-E-N, spelled like Ben Olsen, no relation.
That's what they say, but I don't believe it.
That's how I got my job. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or you can follow the people that I work for, which is ProSoccerUSA.com on Twitter and Instagram.
Seems efficient.
Or you can listen, I jump on air with Jason from 12 to 3 on Sirius XM FC channel 157.
Yeah. Okay. Emily Olsen, thank you so much. Yeah. Cheers.
Okay. Welcome back. Thank you again, Emily Olsen, for joining us on the show. We had a great time talking to her. And
Hey, Jason, let her talk more on the show, huh? quit your gabbing.
Wow. Okay. There's shots fired at Jason Davis.
Man, trying to hold Emily down.
We're going
to
create this narrative.
We've been hired by Barca.
Both great people. Anyway. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about another subject that we hate talking about, but
it doesn't go away.
It doesn't go away, but you know, it's not gonna. It's if we don't point it out, who will? Yeah. Right? We have to talk. So there was a match, a Porto match.
Yeah, Porto versus I think it's Gumieres. I can't remember pronounce the other word.
So
Victoria Permit.
Honestly, it looks like Gumar. Yeah.
Just a couple of side pieces out there. Side piece. The ball around.
Side piece FC against Porto.
We love you, side piece. We do. We love you, side piece. We do. We love you, side piece. We do. Shh. Please don't tell my wife.
It's quite a chant. It's quite a chant. Okay, on a more serious note.
Everyone know that was a joke, by the way. Baby girl, stop throwing plates.
On a more serious note, yes. So there was another racist incident, racial abuse directed at a Porto player. This was Musa Marega. This was the video, obviously, is going viral. Everybody
he used to play for this team.
Yes.
And now he doesn't. And apparently he had been, I don't think this was the only instance.
So he was the side piece and got upgraded.
Right, okay.
Okay. So
they took you out on a Saturday night? Damn.
Wow, you must. It doesn't happen for all of us, you know.
You done leveled up. He did leave her. Wow,
impressive. Anyway,
what does anyone take us seriously? So apparently he moves on to Porto. Apparently had been receiving like sort of monkey noises a couple of times in the match. This wasn't the only instance, and he had had enough of it. I think if I'm not mistaken, this was like the 65th minute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just scored. And of course, well, someone said like he shouldn't have celebrated. Same thing that happened to Moise Keane. He shouldn't have celebrated in front of the other fan. Who cares where you celebrate?
Yeah,
dog?
Exactly. Yeah.
Nothing is an excuse for you to be racist. Okay. Yeah. No. But nothing you finish that sentence with is okay.
Yeah.
Somebody got that. And then somebody made monkey noises. He didn't like it. And he decided to walk off the field. And he was very vocal about it. He was flipping the bird. He was pointing at his skin.
And let's not lose sight of all the things that happened. I mean, yes, they were making monkey noises. There were a lot of jeering. Then they also started throwing chairs at him, especially after he scored. After he scored, he started pointing at his skin.
Right.
To kind of just obviously rub it into all the racists in the stands.
Right. So what you do, you flex harder.
He did exactly that. And so this is, we've seen that. Like, this has been a common thing too many times, especially in Europe. But what happened after was that he basically requested to be subbed off. He was like, I'm getting off the pitch. And his teammates, this is where it really got the opposing team and his teammates did not want him to leave.
Right. Now, first of all, deplorable, right? You should be allowed to walk off if you're getting racially abused. I don't know what the there was a black player on the other team who was trying to stop him.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering what that conversation was. I'm wondering if it was the, hey, you let them win if you walk off, that kind of conversation. Whatever it is, you got to support the dude. Everybody, both teams should be walking off the field at that point.
Yeah.
Because that's not, if somebody's, you know what I mean? If you're another black player, you'd be like, I mean, you weren't doing it to me, right? I mean,
yeah.
You like me though, right? Like, no, that's not cool. That's not cool for anybody. If someone is being racially abused, I wish the entire team, in fact, the other team as well, would walk off. Zarek Valentin, who we've had on the show.
We have never had him on the show.
I thought we did. We talked to him.
So we anyway, met him. Yes.
Also, no one's referring. No one's checking. You could have let me have that it.
Conversations with other human beings is the show.
Well, I record everything. So just so you know, watch what you say around me, dog. No, but Zarek, who we've met before.
Yes.
Who apparently wasn't on the show. You're welcome to be on
That's
it.
That's his fault, though.
Yeah. You're welcome to be on it. He said, like, yo, if this happened and it was my team, we'd all walked off the field.
Yeah.
So, like, there is that. That's the camaraderie you should have.
Yeah. But there were just so many things that just were so poorly handled, right? Obviously, the referee.
You're supposed to stop the
match. You're supposed to stop the match. I mean, there's a protocol put in place. He was just completely ignoring it. Yeah. And you would think that by the time the chairs start being thrown at the player, that he thinks like, hey, maybe I should let's take a little time, little tickety timeout, everybody.
He gave Marega a yellow card. And he was like, how dare you not get hit by one of those chairs? It was aiming for you, dog.
Yeah, it's almost like you don't want this racial abuse. Yeah. And why? You take a yellow card for not accepting it, gladly accepting
it's ridiculous.
It. Really disappointing. And again, you just hope that that these things, at least you can't control the racial abuse. But some fans are going to be ridiculous. But if there's a protocol put in place, you would hope that they follow it.
Players walk off the field.
Yeah, that's it. All right, everybody. Thank you again for sticking with us.
We did it, baby.
I mean, the level of faith that you show us, the
Cooligans,
and in Fubo Sports. I mean, really, just really impressive.
We're incredible, but we're happy that you are as well.
So thank you. Make sure you're at Soccer Cooligans, follow at Fubo Sports, and subscribe to all the YouTube channels, all right?
Yeah.
So with that said, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!